Blog Talk Radio.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it closed for repairs. Wandering in my desert, your oasis appears. You're like a long, cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you, I know you, I do. So can you see? I need to know, do you remember? Gonna feel like alone.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rawson. I'd like to welcome you to a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. As you know, once a month, me and Mike host the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour. We created this radio show so that we would have a chance to do a couple different things. One of them is to interview men about their spiritual journeys and see what their experiences are like in the world, and also to kind of have a support group or a group for men where they would have a way of kind of understanding what's available for resources and you know, also understand that they're not alone. I know for both me and Mike that, you know, as we've gone around and done a lot of training and stuff like that, most of the time men are always a very minority in most spiritual classrooms because most of them are populated by women. And it just happens to be the nature of the spiritual movement these days that, you know, you'll go to a conference with 500 women and there'll be like 3 or 4 guys there. So we wanted to create the show, and as always, we're on about once a month. Normally, we run the third Tuesday of every month. Every once in a while, it slides a little bit, like this month, because I was actually traveling with my two little girls last week, so I couldn't do the show. But most of the time, we're the third Tuesday every month from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. As always, you can find out about this show and other shows that are hosted on Spiritual Connections Radio by going to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And if you go to that link on the website, you can listen to the show from there. You also have the ability, if you go into the archives up at Blog Talk for Spiritual Connections, that all the radio shows are archived. So if you miss any show or if you want to go back and listen to it again, it's available there. Through those links, you're available to download it to iTunes. You can download an MP3. And you can subscribe to our group and everything so you get notifications about that. As always, since I haven't actually promoted this in a very long time, if you go to the Spiritual Connections website, you'll notice right at the bottom underneath the link that there is a newsletter. So feel free to sign up for the newsletter, and we'll make sure to let you know about new people and everything starting. Just this past week, we actually started a new person, Francine Clausen, who is a psychic medium out of Massachusetts, an incredible teacher. She just started her show. Her show is going to be on once a month on Wednesdays in the morning. And she is just absolutely incredible to hear lecture and see all the different things that she teaches. As always, if you want to find out about myself, all my products and everything are listed up on my website at www.markarawson.com. And I'm really excited to announce that starting tomorrow, I should have the information up there. I'm creating a how to find a partner kind of workshop that's going to be available online for you. So if you're looking to figure out how to clear a relationship you were in, and you're looking to pull in something new, something better, a better match, make sure to grab this download. It's going to be a really neat tool. It's going to have a couple different tools included in it, and that'll be advertised on the website starting tomorrow. So with that, I'm going to introduce Mike. And Mike, are you there?
Hello, Mark.
Great to have you on. Why don't you go ahead and tell people about the type of music you do and what your website is and how people can download some of your great music they have.
Oh, sure, Mark. Thank you. My name is Mike Snyder, and I'm an intuitive sound healer, and I play music to help people raise their vibrations and relax. And I do a lot of meditation events, some I do with Mark and also my friend Brigitte out in New Jersey. And I play the background music for a lot of the meditations that we do, which is basically focused on relaxation and achieving access to your higher self and different things like that. I also offer private sessions where I play music individually for people. I have a special set of noise-canceling headphones that I use with my clients, and they lay on a healing table, and we play music for about half an hour. And I also offer some energy healing and also some spiritual messages from spirit. And I also, when I do these sessions, record the music live so that my clients can take the music home with them to use it further for meditation and helping them get to sleep and different things like that. So I do a variety of different things with the music. All of my information, as well as some of my downloadable CDs and different things and products that I have, are on my website, which is www.mikesnydercc.com. Feel free to check it out. I think you'll find a lot of interesting things on there. I also have a lot of downloadable classes and meditations that I've participated in and that I've worked with other colleagues. I think you'll find a lot of things there to spark your interest. And
excellent.
We'll take it back to you, Mark.
All right. So, I'm going to actually have you go ahead and introduce our guest that we have on this evening. And
okay. Well, tonight we have Dr. Azra Bertrand. Azra, are you there?
I'm here.
And how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the work that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll just start with the beginning. I'll start with the beginning. It's a good place to start. And it's only really in looking back that I could really see the greater pattern unfolding, because like all of us, in the moments we're living our life, we're following our instincts, we're making our decisions, we're moving with the flow, and can't always see the bigger picture. And it's really incredible to look back now and see the magic that has been guiding me, and the force behind the scenes, the greater force behind the scenes, which is it's more and more apparent and more easy to perceive in my life now, and it's really interesting to look back and watch the course. And really, since I was a child, and we all have this, or most of us have this when we're children, is the feeling that life is magical, that we're meant to do incredible things, we're meant to play, we're meant to have incredible joy, we're meant to explore, and that we're all heroes on our own journey, and heroines on our own journey, And so that magic we all have, and it's really in my life, really one way of looking at it, the many perspectives, and one way has been the keeping that magic alive and allowing that thread to develop, to grow, to expand in the face of a society and world that's predominantly focused on other things. And you know, so from the time I was very young, I've been interested in those magical threads. And as I'm matured by the time of, say, the end of high school age, when I was 17, 18, I started becoming interested in meditation. And the interest I had in meditation was really as a way to access different dimensional states or different states of consciousness, to have visions, to have different experiences, sometimes blissful experiences, sometimes contacting creative ideas and doing, you know, interesting things, learning about all the interesting things we can do with meditation, you know, controlling our, actually changing our biology, which when I was even in, you know, in college, I was studying hypnosis. I come from a lineage of healers. My family's the lineage goes back to medieval Europe, actually, into the German royal courts and even back to the Cathars in southern France. And my mother was a hypnotherapist, and I started learning hypnotherapy and all the incredible things that we can do to actually alter our physical body and emotions just with our mind. I started learning this when I was 5 and eventually studied it in more in depth and went into it. And so that was the beginning. And so you can say that my quest or my introduction into spirituality was following that magical thread. And another way to say it is that I was searching for freedom and truth. And from the beginning, myself, and I know a lot of people who would be listening to this program, have that as well. That knowing that there's something else greater, there's something more going on behind the scenes than what we see on the surface in the world. And I knew that. And I also had the sense that I was not free. There was something within me that wasn't fully alive. There was something holding me back. There was something that needed to be born, and I didn't know what it was. I just had that feeling, and so for me, the spiritual journey really was, it started on those terms, searching for freedom, looking for magic, and I did all kinds of different things. One of the things I did when I was 19 is I set off to the wilds of Alaska, and I slept on the forest floor, a 2 or 3 days hike out from the nearest gravel road and many miles from the nearest civilization. I was living on the land, on what I caught or on the supplies I had boated in. And in that time, I made a primal connection with Gaia, with our Mother Earth, in a way that was waking something that had been dormant, it feels, for not just in my life, but for generations. And away from the buzz of of everything having to do with the city, of electricity, of cars, and just being with the land. And that was an awakening experience for me, and it awakened in me a connection really to my primal body, my primal self, and the web of life, the pulsing web of life, and realizing how we're not separate from that. It's not that nature is wild and we're human and civilized. No, we are wild creatures that have actually been civilized. We've been tamed. We've been domesticated. But this wild part of us is longing to make that reconnection. And so I meditated on mountaintops. I trekked on glaciers where there had been no one before for years. I slept on the ice in my tent. It was a little bit like the movie Into the Wild, except that I came back intact. But I was looking for the wild. I was looking for this deeper connection to life and meditating and contemplating and diving into it, investigating my own belief systems, investigating whether or not I wanted to have a normal job or whether there was something else possible. What's possible? What's possible in this life? And so that's how it started for me. And I had a practice of Vipassana-type meditation. I meditated for an hour a day for years and found incredible peace and incredible bliss while I was meditating, while I was on the cushion, as they say. And then the rest of my life was a mess. And it may have looked great on the outside. I was in medical school. I went to Duke Medical School, which is a prestigious medical school. And it was a very challenging medical school. And in that environment, I realized that what I wanted to help people heal. I wanted to learn about the body. I wanted to learn about the mind. I was interested in psychiatry and psychology as well. And what I wanted to learn was not being taught, or some of it was. It's not fair to say it wasn't being taught completely. Some of it was. But what I really wanted to know, what makes us alive? What makes us vital? What makes us whole beings? What is it? What is our real biological potential? How do we heal from illness if we have illness? What does it mean if we have illness? These things actually weren't being taught in medical school. And I began to realize that, well, it doesn't matter how much physical health we have. If we don't have a deep soulful and emotional connection, it doesn't do us much good. We won't be happy. And eventually my practice morphed from a Buddhist-type meditation-focused practice into, which you can call that a spiritual focus if you want, into a very in-depth psychological and emotional focus. And I wanted to get to the root of all of my issues, of all of my wounds. I wanted to understand my ego and what were the things that I'm doing in my life that were driven by a need for approval, for admiration, for all of these things that actually don't make us happy. And how do I find happiness? How do I break through the barriers and open myself more into love and life? And that was an incredible journey for me. And for me, that it was studying body-based psychology or body-based psychotherapy or somatic psychotherapy. And we're talking about the work of Wilhelm Reich and of Alexander Lowen and John Perakos, and these are incredible, powerful healers and therapists who realize that our emotional and psychological history is stored in our physical body, that our body is the key, that our physical body is the key, is the temple, is the portal back to wholeness, and that we can access this energy in us, we can unlock our life force energy by working not just with emotional patterns, but with the body itself. And that was a very powerful time for me. And my actual practice shifted from sitting on a cushion, being very quiet and trying to find a point of stillness and no mind, to a very active process involving for example, Osho's dynamic meditations, which are very active meditations that involve powerful breathing, that involve cathartic release of emotions, of expressive dance, of shaking, of literally shaking and awakening the body through vibrating and shaking. And so for me, my own growth really, it moved forward exponentially. And I realized that without the basis of doing the psychological work and the emotional work and reconnecting on that level and really deeply opening into love, you really can't have freedom. You may have some moments of dissociated bliss. You may have some moments of incredible peace when you're alone in the woods. But until we heal our relational issues, we're not whole. And so my practice really went in that direction. And I began to understand that I was looking for truth. I was looking for freedom. And I was doing it as a lone wolf. I thought that in order to be awakened and enlightened, which I really wanted to do, and my understanding of what that is has shifted a lot. But back in the day, in my early 20s, I wanted that. And I thought that the way to do that was to separate off and to do that outside of relationship, really. And then my concepts about that changed radically as I began to experience more states of love in relation to other people, especially in relation to my partner. And so my path morphed even more into a path of growing through the process of sacred relationship and sacred union. And I've been on this path for 15 years now, and it for me has been the greatest teacher, the most accelerated path, the most comprehensive, because nothing remains hidden. If you have issues,
yeah,
they come to the surface, and they come to the surface in an obvious way to be seen and felt, and it requires all of our courage, all of our love, and an incredible commitment to open.
That was a really good summary. I want to share a story with everybody on how you and I actually met. It was funny. I was, as people know, I was traveling up from Florida, and one of my stops was to visit a dear friend of mine, Randy, in Asheville, North Carolina. And one of my friends from Florida, Krista, had told me that I should make sure that I stop in and see Earth Haven, which is an eco-village up in the mountains near Asheville. And originally I was going to, I called up and I asked for a private tour. I wanted to see the property, meet the ruling group and see what it was like to live off the grid and stuff like that. I was actually hoping to stay a night, but most of their stuff is a 1 month or a 3 month minimum. And, as it turns out, I was really pushing hard to get the private tour. And the woman I spoke to kept on saying, there's a group tour and you should probably do that one. And I said, okay, I'll do that one. And sure enough, Azra was one of the people that I met on the tour, and we started talking and really hit it off. And we're like, we should definitely talk to you on the air and talk about your story. So here we are.
Yeah.
So thank you for being here. We're actually going to have you and your wife on. I don't have a date in front of me. I think it's the first Thursday in September. And we're going to talk about the work that the two of you do, because it's absolutely amazing to see a spiritual couple working together and creating so many great things. Yeah, we actually are going to have you and your wife on. What is your wife's name again?
Saren Bertrand.
Okay, and while you're at it, why don't you go ahead and give everybody your website?
Sure. So our website is thefountainoflife.org. That's the work my wife and I do together. And I also have a website that describes the healing work that I do, and that's drazrabertrand.com. drazrabertrand.com.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So we're looking forward to having you guys on in September at 9:30 on our Thursday night show.
Great.
I normally wait until the end of the show to kind of put this question out there, but there's a couple of different things that came up in your conversation, and I think some of this, when I ask these questions, kind of maybe is going to recap with something what you have already said, and that is, what do you think as a man is the most important thing you've learned so far, as far as your spiritual, teachings and, what you've learned on your journey?
Well, maybe the most important thing I've learned so far is that we're all a work in progress, that we are all remembering. It's an act of remembering really who we are, that it's there within us, and it's a process of remembering and uncovering and awakening what's been dormant. And this is an evolutionary path, and it's a set of spirals, of ever-deepening spirals, with no end. There is no awakened being that has stopped their growth. There is a constant set of new awakenings, really. And You know, so what I know, and I know more now than ever before, is that what we know, what I know, is only a fraction of the infinite that's there, which is really a brilliant feeling to know that there is really infinite love, infinite creativity, infinite discoveries all around us. And it just, you know, in my own journey, I just keep discovering more and more.
Yeah.
And more. And it just gets better. It gets better and better.
I think it was either Socrates or Plato who had all that knowledge basically said, I understand one thing, and that is I understand nothing.
And, exactly.
And it's funny, you know, that we can be, you know, for a lot of us in the spiritual world, we almost want to see that there's an end to the work. You know, it's almost like you think you finally plateaued, and it reminds me of working out. You know, you hit a plateau, and then sure enough, and we use the onion example, you peel off the onion, sure enough, there's more work to do. So, you know, one of the things that I thought was very interesting, I wasn't really quite sure if you had summarized it, is that do you feel that it's been more beneficial for you to grow and to learn on your own, or do you find that, you know, the relationship with a partner is kind of like, you know, kind of grease for the wheel, or is a bigger mirror that kind of allows the growth to exponentially happen?
Yeah, well, I can speak about my path and my experiences, and I'll say with 100% certainty, in my life, it's been relationship that has been the most accelerated and accelerating path that I've tried, and I've tried a lot of different things, including being the, you know, fiercely independent meditator who's, you know, and that I learned a lot from that. But it wasn't the fullness and the wholeness of my expression. And I really feel that the journey I'm on now in sacred relationship and in union with my partner really is that. And it's taken it to a whole nother level.
I don't think people really realize that when they sit out there and they say, you know, I just, you know, the only thing I want in life is a soulmate. You know, I want my soulmate to come in, you know, and, you know, we throw around the matter of fact, me and Mike were having a discussion that you were listening to before we went on the air, where Mike was kind of breaking down the difference between twin flames and soulmates and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is when you bring in something like that, those are generally the biggest relationships for growth. Those are the ones, you know, as the joke goes, I like to say, those are generally the ex-wives and the ex-husbands we've had. Those are the people who've pushed our buttons more than anything else. And, you know, I think, you know, go ahead.
I was just agreeing with you.
Seeing the energy between you and your wife, and, you know, I don't think you need to go on the record here, but it just seems to me that you have something where you are in this powerful relationship with somebody spiritually. It is probably a very explosive relationship that is generating a lot of change, a lot of mirroring for both of you. And, you know, I'm just wondering if that, and, you know, I don't think you need to testify on this, but do you find with those type of relationships that they can actually be very loving? Because I think for a lot of relationships like that, sometimes these people turn out to be, you know, the lessons are very, very hard. I know I just went through something like that recently myself, and I learned more about myself in 1 year than I learned in 40 years.
Yeah.
But it was a very hard road for the year, nothing that I want to repeat too soon.
Well, I can say this, is that I've been committed to sacred relationship for a long time, and that has involved a partner in the past, and there was incredible soulful growth in that relationship. And now I'm with my current wife, and we've been in a sacred relationship for several years, or almost 2 years now, and it is on a different order, and there is an incredible amount of love. She is my soulmate, And the commitment that we have both made, it's not just to each other, but to life itself, is opening ourselves to love no matter what the consequences. Opening ourselves to love and life, come what may, not letting anything else get in the way. And when that's the commitment, when the commitment is to keep returning to love, to keep making yourself vulnerable, to keep opening your heart, to keep choosing your soul over anything else, what that does is that very quickly pushes people in your life who don't have those same values and priorities. It pushes them to the side or out of the way, and it draws to you your soulmate. And there are lots of people talking and speaking about soulmates and twin flames. And what I know is my experience, and the world is vast. The universe is infinite. There are many possibilities out there, and I don't claim to know them all. But in my relationship, and Sarah and my relationship now, there is an incredible love that supports us. And yes, we're going to the depths and the limits of our beings. We grieve, we weep, we express angry emotions cathartically, and not at each other, but in a conscious way, to move them out of our body. And we experience in this greater and greater synchronizing and greater movement into love. And so we treat each other, we don't tolerate. I don't tolerate in myself not treating Saren lovingly. But I do have anger, I do have fears, I do have griefs, and I take responsibility for them. It requires a tremendous amount of humility. And we happen to be, we have both chosen love no matter what. And if a difficult emotion comes up for us, we sit in it, we work with it, we let it move through us until we've returned back to union. And that's our process, and that's our work. And in that, I used to think of it in terms of, yeah, there's someone there to reflect back our stuff to us. There's someone there to mirror back to us so we can grow. And that's a part of it. But what actually happens is the more one opens into love in union, in sexual union with someone, that magic really opens. And all of the schools of magic, all of the mystery schools, all of the ancient teachings realize this, that the combination of a loving heart, an open heart, plus sexuality is the most powerful magic in the universe. And when that masculine and feminine comes together, when there's love, when the energies are unblocked and moving freely, then the most amazing creations happen. The most amazing things are born from that. We receive downloads from the universe. We receive information for books. We receive the insights on how to help people heal, how to help ourselves heal. Our hearts and deepest desires open and come more to the forefront. And so it has gone beyond a process of healing or a process of, how I used to think of it as a process of healing, into a process of profound creativity, of entering altered states of consciousness together that are actually our blueprint, our biological blueprint, our birthright, this is what we're meant to do. This is what we're meant to do. And we've all, myself included, been separated from that for various reasons. And yeah, so it's for me, the path of relationship and the path of union and reunion has been the most powerful.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I was just going to make a comment, Azra. You know, that was really very fascinating, very beautiful, what you were speaking of. And I know it has me thinking a little bit too. And I have some friends from a couple friends of mine that also do some similar work with teaching others how to use their womb power and different things like that along the feminine lines. But what I think is fascinating, not just in personal relationships, just with friends or soulmates or partners and so forth, but what I'm finding is very important is the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine in union, just in the world in general, for the male and females to understand each other, for the males especially to put the ego past, and if they do have some emotional things to talk about, to be able to sit down with another female and kind of, you know, talk about it and talk it over. Sometimes, you know, when you're a male, you do need like that nurturing of the feminine to listen and hear what you have to say, and vice versa. When you're, you know, a female, you need a male to try to, instead of just listen, try to really understand. So I think it's such a great concept for a male to really understand a female, even though you can't really put yourself in their shoes per se, but to really understand how they're wired a little bit differently than we are, and vice versa, and to really honor and respect that, and not to be so separate, because if we really can get in there and understand each other more and be there for each other, it's so much more valuable than just the separation that I notice a lot, especially in our own country, where it's like, well, you wouldn't understand, so I'm not going to share this with you, and you know, I don't want you being part of this, and so on and so forth. And so, and getting to the height of that, you know, I know when for myself, when I do a lot of my spiritual music and I connect to spirit and higher self and so forth, I feel that in the music, that unity, because the music I play, I really use it to bring in people into a higher vibration. But to use that, I've done it before in like a masculine and feminine kind of meditation where I've done it with other friends. And it almost feels like when you go into high meditation and you really concentrate in the male and feminine aspects, you kind of have a unity. You kind of can merge it, and you can kind of see, wow, how many different ways you're the same, because in the heart you're very much the same, whereas maybe physiologically, you know, you are different. So it just really fascinated me, you know, what we've been discussing, and I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, it's really important what you're saying, and it's the idea that in the way we some people speak about men and women, speak about the opposite sexes, that men and women are opposites, and that there are all these differences and such. And the truth is that men and women are so, we're so very similar on a deep emotional and biological level. And obviously, there are some very important differences. However, we are way more alike. We're complementary. We're meant to fit together. We're meant to go together. And it just an interesting example of this is that actually all humans have a female biological blueprint. And it's only at about 8 weeks of gestation that that male sexual differences start to form. So for the first 8 weeks of life, men and women, or male and female bodies, are exactly the same, and it's a female body blueprint. And then men develop slightly differently, obviously. But on a very core emotional level, there is a profound misunderstanding of what male emotions are and what men's relationship to emotions could be. And this is generated by very intense cultural conditioning, that men are supposed to be strong always, to hide all weakness and vulnerability, not to show grief, not to, anger may be okay, but certainly not grief, certainly not any fear. Men shouldn't be afraid. Men aren't afraid, right?
Yeah.
You know, and this model of actually separates men from their feelings, but it's through our feelings that we really awaken. It's through our feelings that we can have a full emotional, physical, biological, and spiritual awakening, and through our bodies as well. They cannot be left out. And so This is the knowledge of the ancient ways. This is knowledge that was universally known 5,000 years ago, but which has slowly eroded, that's been forgotten about, that's been lost and fragmented. And this is the knowledge that's now reweaving its way back into the spiritual world, that it's not about ascending, it's actually about descending and bringing all of these incredible energies of love, celestial energies, divine energies, into our bodies, into the way we live in the world, into the way we relate with other humans, and grounding that in a three-dimensional way so that, for example, we can continue as a viable species on this planet, so that we can create the Eden, the incredible garden that our Earth is meant to be, that we have lost. We've become disconnected from ourselves in this way. And so it's so important. And for men, as we men become more in touch with our own feelings, we feel our partners. We don't have to even, we can understand them, and that's important as well, but we actually feel them. We know exactly what they're feeling because we have that clairsentience. We can feel, we know ourselves so well, we know our own feelings so well, that in clearing that out, we form an incredible telepathic, it's really like a telepathic link with our partner. And we know, all animals have this capacity to completely understand what the other animals around them are feeling in any given moment. And it's our capacity as well.
Wow. So, there was a couple of different things I was thinking of as we were talking about all this. And I think staying on the topic of this is actually really good, and then we'll swing back around and talk more about what your transition was like, as you were going through the medical field and then started to integrate some of the spirituality. So I think the first thing that comes to mind is we were talking about how partnerships come together and, we kind of partner with somebody. And I think one of the interesting things that I've noticed, beyond the fact that, most of the time when we go to spiritual conferences, there's only a handful of men there, is also that most of the women that are there are divorced. And I think a big reason for this is when you see a woman who spiritually grows, who makes her what I call the Wayne Dyer shift, her priorities change, she becomes more spiritual, she comes into power with some type of modality. And the man that's there, especially a non-spiritual man, is basically left with a fragile ego who's like, well, I can't control her anymore, and all this type of stuff. And it just seems to be that's a common trend that most of the women who become spiritual, especially if they're in marriages, that generally those marriages end in divorce.
Yeah, it's common. It's common. And I'll just go ahead and put it on the record. That the truth is that at the moment there are more women who are connected with their souls. There are more women who are connected with their feelings. There are more women who are connected with the deeper truths than there are men. And the reason for this is the men are in a way more disconnected, in a way more soulfully and emotionally damaged than women. And that's due to very intense conditioning and pressures from our society that separate men from their feelings. It's as simple as that. At the level of at a very young age, when boys, 4-year-old boys, are told not to cry, they need to grow up and be a man and be strong. And this is part of this process. And the other thing is that there is an incredible energy, there's a wave of consciousness that is coming onto this planet in a big way. And that consciousness is the awakening of the sacred feminine, the return of the sacred feminine. And women feel this and step to it much more readily and much more easily than men. It can bring up fear in men. Fear of change, fear of, I thought things were pretty good the way they were now. I was in control more or less. I, You know, I prioritize these things, and all of a sudden my partner, my wife, or my children are asking me to look at things differently, to maybe work less, maybe spend more time sharing of myself, of what I really want in life, what's really important, sharing emotionally, learning more about spirituality, learning, you know, opening ourselves, opening our third eyes and crown to the incredible information that's available to us when we reach for it mm-hmm. and ask for it.
Yeah, and I think one of the interesting things about it is, you know, if you look at something like Wayne Dyer and The Shift, what you normally will see is that, you know, before, I think there's a lot of awakening, you know, as an example, the three of us on the radio show right now. And I think there's more of that occurring. But if you were to look at the standard for the last 20 years, statistics show that most men will go into the midlife crisis, will eventually, their priorities will switch, and they will become more wisdom-seeking and more of that in their later years in life. What I think is really cool is that a lot of men are connecting with that now and really starting to awaken now. The other thing that I was thinking about is, you know, the whole idea, because we were talking about partnership, is that I think there's these standard cookie-cutter kind of ideas on what relationships are going to be. And I think there's a new relationship that's starting to come up with this expansion of men and women into the spiritual field. I think if you went back and looked at it before, most men would think that to be spiritually enlightened means that you actually yourself, so you're actually so nurturing yourself that you can be spiritually enlightened and not need to have a partner in your life, that you become the man in the cave who can meditate and doesn't need anybody by his side. And, you know, the flip side of that is what I think most of the world is right now, which is codependent relationships. And I think the new model that's coming out, that's really kind of coming to the surface, and I think you and your wife are probably a very good example of that, is that you can have two spiritual people who are on their own paths, who are not trying to control each other, who basically have decided that you could be alone, but you've decided that you want to have somebody by your side, not because you need it. Or I always get my need and want flipped around. It's not that you need it. It's that it's like you have that choice that you would like to have somebody there. And it's really just kind of witnessing each other's growth and being there to share life together, to have that choice that, you know, this is somebody I want to have that's there, and I'm not going to try to control them. I'm not going to try to manipulate them and all these crazy things that normally happen in most marriages and relationships.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what you've described is one of the most commonly misunderstood concepts in spirituality, in my opinion, and that's the concept of I am sovereign in my own self. I am self-sufficient. It's just me and the meditation cushion. It's just me and God. I don't need anything else or anyone else. And so that is that paradigm has been taught for a long time now in different traditions, that all needs are illusions, that all desires need to be let go of. There are no attachments, and there is some truth in that that's very powerful. There's some truth in that that's very powerful. However, it's very misleading. Because the other truth is that we are biological beings, and the same thing applies to, well, I'll just tell the story of what happens to very young humans, so infants who aren't receiving love and physical affection. They actually die, or they become so severely emotionally and physically disabled that they cannot function in any way in the world. And so just like we need oxygen, because we do if we want to live, just like we need food, because we do if we want to live, when we're young, we need love. We need love in order to live. And there's this, most people get that. And then there's this feeling like, but when you reach a certain age, then you're some separated soul, you know, sovereign, me and God, nothing else. And that's just rubbish. It's not true. We are a a part of creation, a very powerful part of creation, us as individuals. But that concept that we're individuals and separated from everything around us, whether it's the earth and the biosphere, or whether it's the relationships with our partners and family, or our relationships with the culture and the collective, we are profoundly influenced by these relationships, profoundly influenced. And yes, you can choose to do things on your own. And just as you could choose to separate yourself from nature, you could separate yourself from other people. But that is a path that is, in essence, a path of separation. And the greatest freedom and the greatest love, in my experience, having really lived both to its fullness, is in the path of union. And in coming into that, in learning how to really be in deep soulful relationship, we have to pass through that codependent phase. We, in essence, retrace our emotional development and all of our wounds from that very early age in our life when we were dependent on our mothers. And all of our emotional wounds really, well, come from that and a few other places, but it's a huge piece of it. And so that place of being codependent, of saying, wow, you know, I really want love, I want to be in a loving relationship, is a great place to start. And that's, from that place is a place of, I want to be in relationship. It's a very deep desire. And from there, you can do a lot of healing and move into a place where you allow your partner to have their own emotions without having this terrible survival fear come up. Oh, my God, am I going to be abandoned? Are they going to leave me? But that fear has melted, and trust and love are there in its place. And that's a process. And we have to be gentle with ourselves in that process, and not, you know, not push it away as, oh, I don't want to be codependent, I'm going to make myself strong and independent again. And yeah, there's a place for that, and also there's a place for being very gentle and patient with our own developmental process as we heal our capacity to be in relationship.
Yeah, that's powerful. Hey, as we wrap up the show, I can't believe how quick an hour goes. Just talk very quickly about your integration of your spirituality with your medicine and what that initially looked like.
Well, initially it looked like two different worlds. It looked like the world of meditating, of going on, of going on breathwork journeys and yoga and hypnosis, and that was in one, in one segment of my life. And the other segment was this very clinical, logical, rational medicine. And those boundaries, I knew there was something wrong in that separation. And that separation is just part of the current paradigm in training doctors in this country, and it's not that way in indigenous cultures, for example. And it became very, very quickly evident that that model just simply doesn't work, and that really, in essence, the root of any physical problem is an emotional or spiritual or soulful disturbance. And as I saw that more and more, I just focused a lot of my healing work on those aspects of healing. And in addition to learning about acupuncture and herbalism and homeopathy and many different incredible alternative and integrative healing modalities, and doing a lot of that, I spent a lot of my energies focusing on what does it take to break through patterns of stress, to break through old ancestral and family lineage dynamics that cause illness, and helping people discover them, because often they're hidden, and heal and release them so they can step into incredible biological vitality.
Excellent. In closing, what do you think is the most important message you'd like to give other men on their spiritual journeys right now?
The most important message really is that we grow through making contact with our feelings and our vulnerabilities, and learning to be comfortable sharing and expressing all of it and all of ourselves. It's really a process of soul retrieval for men, and myself included. This has been the greatest part of my journey for the last probably 10 to 12 years, is reclaiming all of my feelings without shame, that I can cry, that I can be vulnerable, that I can admit it when I'm afraid. And this is how men will heal. And through that, there's the awakening of that longing and desire for union. That's how we find it. And that union comes through sexual union. It comes through feeling that desire of union with the web of life and with Gaia. And, for example, we met at an incredible permaculture community. And that's what the earth needs to heal. And that's how our communities will heal, is through different models of living and relating with the earth. And so all of these things awaken more and more through our being connected with our feelings and our feeling bodies.
That's incredible. Why don't you go ahead and give out your website again?
So my website, is my wife and I's website, is thefountainoflife.org. And I also have a healing website, drazrabertrand.com. That's drazrabertrand.com.
That's excellent. It's been great having you on. Mike, as always, I love having you on the show.
Oh, thank you. It was really wonderful to meet you. It's Azra.
Yeah, you too, Mike.
And we're really looking forward to having you and your wife on the first Thursday at 9:30 in September. So that'll be a great show to talk about all the work that you guys do together and what it's like to have a spiritual partnership on the road.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And talk about all the great books and everything that are coming out and the teaching events that you have and all that great stuff. So,
yeah, great.
I really appreciate you having on the show. It's been an incredible interview. And as always, everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. If you missed any part of the show, it will be available in the archives probably in about 10 minutes for replay. And I hope everybody enjoyed the show. We always try to reach out and find really unique and incredible people to bring on, and tonight's show was a good example of that. So thank you for being here.
And Mark, let me add one other thing, is that I'm doing a Power of Male Shakti teleconference on September 8th. Power of Male Shakti. You can find it on our website or on Facebook. It's going to be a powerful event about men's spirituality and awakening, and women are also invited to attend.
Oh, that's powerful. Thank you for sharing that with everybody. So if you want to find out more about the show and everything, you can go to spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And I want to say goodnight to everybody. Goodnight, Mike, and thank you for being on, Azra.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
All right, goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it closed for repairs. Wandering in my desert, your oasis appears. You're like a long, cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you, I know you, I do. So can you feel it? Tell me I need to know.